Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, Nick and E in the morning.
You know why they yawning? Talk to him.
Come on, E.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Ain't got way about that.
We loosen the roof, baby.
Lathoric.
It's happening. Colossal. Our destiny is greatness.
Talk to him.
Talk to him.
That's right, baby. We are back. It is Who We Got Wednesday, and we are ready to go today, baby. Baby, what's going on with you, E?
Man, what's happening? What's happening, dude? I'm excited. I'm ready to go. This is our third show live from Orlando.
Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. How is it, really quickly, before we get into building a business with William Wright II?
Man,
are you catching
complaint.
Alligators?
You know what? We went out there yesterday with the alligators, and I got a picture up on Facebook. Y'all go check it out. I got the alligator in my hand. I don't know what got into me, but I was Crocodile Dundee yesterday. Crocodile Dundee. Yes, sir. That's his soul.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we've got an exciting morning here. We don't have any Crocodile Dundee material, but we've got some material about building a business and a little financial literacy. Very excited morning, very rife with economic empowerment. You can just whenever you're ready, bro. Whenever you're ready.
I'm so grateful that you've given me the opportunity to ask you
an important
question. And so let me not bore the listeners and we'll our guest anymore. Bro, who we got this morning for Who We Got Wednesday?
I'm glad you asked. This morning, a morning that you have been waiting for, a morning that I have been waiting for, we're talking about building a business, we're talking about financial literacy with a man from Wells Fargo. This man works in business banking. He is a business banking specialist at Wells Fargo. He has been a personal banker, a business advocate with customer service, sales representative. This man has done plenty of it, all right? This is a guy who you want to hear from, a guy who I want to hear from. He grows and deepens relationships with small businesses and small business customers, actively acquiring new small business customers ranging from startup to an annual revenue of $2 million. He went to the world-acclaimed, illustrious, greatest HBCU to ever grace the earth, Hampton University. And we want to join him, and we want him to join us and welcome him for the first time on the Eric Terrell Show. Mr. William A. Wright II, what's going on, bro?
This is actually
good morning, gentlemen. Good
Eric
morning.
In the morning show. I don't know why you said the Eric Terrell Show, but this is actually the Nick and Eric in the morning show. William, it's a pleasure to have you.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Thanks for joining us. I had no idea I said that. That's what happens when you're on three different radio shows in one day. But yes. So how's everything?
Everything's going well. Everything's going well. I'm glad to know that you guys know some Crocodile Dundee knowledge a little bit. You know, my favorite quote from the movie is "That's not a knife. That's a knife."
That's nice.
Listen, how's it being a young father? How's it going with with the young Thundercat and the family. How's everything over there?
Everything's going swell, man. Just enjoying, you know, fatherhood. It definitely is a piece of your life that helps you grow in patience, grow in laughter, grow in just so many other different ways. Just having a child, whether it be a baby boy or a baby girl. My daughter London is the light of my life. So just glad to see my work
nice.
Through her.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny. People say you don't really know love until you have a child. that's absolutely fantastic. Now,
definitely.
Hopefully London will have a business or some businesses of her own. Hopefully growing up with a father like you, she will be a business very early. A lot of us have missed the boat. A lot of us, maybe not necessarily missed the boat, but a lot of us will not know what London will know as early or as soon as London will know it. We need literacy. We need help. We need to know how to get started. A lot of people don't really know how to get started. They have this idea, but they don't know how to get started. So for those people, can you just help us out with the steps to becoming a business owner? What are the steps to becoming a business owner?
First things first, again, very proud to be here on the show and talk to you guys. Again, like Eric said, my background is within the retail side of Wells Fargo Bank as a business banking specialist. So I deal, again, with a lot of small business owners who are either startups or in mid-stride or have been working for years on their business. So over the time of working with these businesses, I had to see what the first steps of owning a business were. Talking to a lot of them, the first step is your passion. What is your passion? A lot of folks say, like, you know, well, I just jumped into this because I saw an opportunity. But sometimes that opportunity can be seen as your passion. Whether it be owning a cell phone store, you have a passion for technology, hair studio or hair salon, you love doing hair. Especially in today, in our millennial generation, if you're doing a lot of things over the internet, like you two gentlemen, this is a passion for you because we have the internet that grew up with us to do this. So the first things first is identifying your passion and trying to figure out how to make that a business, if you will. So if you know that those items or those things in your life give you joy doing, figure out how to turn that into a business. After you find your passion, you want to do a little research on your business. So let's say you're a baker and you do certain things with cupcakes or muffins or anything like that. Do some research on your business in the sense of what else is happening within your area, town, or city to see if anyone else is doing the same thing that you're doing. If they are, what can you do to make it better or to just change the game just a little bit? Or just to see what others around the country are doing in order to enhance your business. It's just, again, just to do a little research. You have to do a little market analysis, if you will, to understand, again, your business and where you're looking to go. Thirdly,
gotcha.
You want to create a business plan. I'm a firm believer in creating a business plan. Without a plan, there's no way to direct your energy. You know, writing it down, getting it on paper. You know, when you write it down, you put more power to the word that you're writing, that you've been speaking by putting it into written form. So write out your business plan. Write it out where you're going to go with the business. Now, a great thing that Wells Fargo has to offer is our Wells Fargo Works website, wellsfargoworks.com. And it's just like, again, Wells Fargo, WORKS.com. So there you can view many different ways of how to create your business and how to get up and running. We have four tabs at the top. One of them is a business plan center. The other one is how to start your business, how to run your business, and how to grow your business. A lot of the tabs within this website tool you can use in order to figure out some answers to a few questions that you may have, or, you know, if you were kind of stuck on certain situations, you know, it gives you a few models. But this is to help drive you in your business plan goals and show you how, like, okay, this is how, where a few other store owners and business owners have done a few things. But if you have any more questions, that will help you come in to see me, a business specialist or another business advocate or a personal banker within Wells Fargo, and we can help walk you through it as well. And lastly, one of the parts of the how to create a business is research your bank. Research where you want to do your business and how that bank and you will help grow together. Another shameless plug, if you will, would be that, you know, here at Wells Fargo, I'm here to help you and your business grow together, help you succeed financially. That's our vision and value statement with Wells Fargo, helping our customers succeed financially. We have over 89 different lines of businesses to help you do that. I'm one of those 89. If I don't have the answer, I have 88 other lines I can go to help you, whether that be for merchant services, payroll, treasury management, so on and so forth. We just have so many resources to help your business grow. But again, you want to take a look at your bank and see what do they offer. But again, these four steps I really am very a strong advocate of, because it helps you as a future business owner or a current business owner think about what hasn't my bank been doing for me, and then we have another conversation to see what can we do to make it better.
Nice. See, I'm so young and naive. I grow up and I think banks are just places to put money. I'm like, well, a bank is somewhere for you to keep money, somewhere for you to loan money. I never really take into account the fact that there's consultants and there's people like you and there's resources, especially something like WellsFargoWorks.com. WellsFargoWorks.com is basically a free business resource that anybody can use. Anybody.
Correct. Even if you bank with another financial institution or a credit union, this resource tool is available for you to use at your disposal.
Nice.
Man.
Yeah.
That's high quality. That's high quality. You know what? I heard you say something. You know, all of it was rich. And had you not sent us a printout, I would have been writing it all down. And now, listeners, y'all better be right. This is good. Okay. Number one. And number two, one of the things that I really got attached to is when you said, write it down. And when you write it down, you add so much power to it. Now, when you said that, I almost shouted right there because that's in the text. Okay.
It is.
You know, right. You got to write the vision and you got to make it plain. And when you write this vision down, not only do you add power to it, but like you mentioned, it gives you direction. So when things
Correct.
Get rough, when the storm gets raging, you just go back right here to this vision. This is what you said you were going to do. You know,
wow.
this is a reminder to yourself. So that was good, man. I'm grateful for that, William. I'm appreciative of all of those keys, but that one right there, that's what they need to hear.
Especially when it comes to writing down the plan. Little piece of my personal, I have on my in my folder every day, or like my where I keep my tablets and everything like that. And right there is a big sticker that I wrote on that said "Stick to the plan." I revamp my plan probably once every 3 months, just to make sure that, you know, okay, I didn't succeed here, but I want to do this next. So you want to make sure that your business plan is the same exact thing. If you do not achieve a certain aspect of the plan, you want to go back and revamp it to make sure that, okay, to make sure that you can achieve the next goal. What they say is you're going to aim for the moon, but if you don't make it, you can lay amongst the stars.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, Kanye West. I don't know who else said it, but Kanye West Kanye West also said that on, I believe it was either late registration or graduation, one of those, reach for the stars, and if you fall, you land on the cloud. Yeah, that great words, great words. The goal is to not think about the cloud. The goal is stars or bust. Right. In your case, in the analogy you delineated, moon or bust. And at the end of the day, you look back and you say, well, I didn't get the moon, but I'm sitting here on this cloud. So that's not so bad. That's not so bad because that's.
What?
Go to
hello?
Now the significance. Go. Hello.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I got you. You had kind of went silent for a minute there. Yeah. I don't know if it was my phone. I thought I missed you. But go ahead. I apologize.
Oh. Wow. Okay. What is the significance of being a business owner?
There are many significances of being a business owner. It's empowering. One, you are your own boss. You get to make your kind of your own schedule, you know, depending on the type of business that you run. If you are internet based and you've been taking off over the last few months, you up and running after a good year, let's talk about it. You don't have to wake up at the crack of dawn, depending on, or if you are a baker, you know, waking up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure that you get everything ready for your the type of store that you run, whether it's artisan breads or cupcakes, muffins. You get to do that because you take pride into it. And, you know, your rest of your schedule is pretty much set. You get in, you make sure that your employees get everything together by maybe 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You're saying, you know what, I can go home. You guys can run the store. Let's make sure the place is up and running and we're sustainable for the rest of the day. But that's one of the great benefits, one, because you create your own schedule, especially when it comes to, you know, folks who, let's say, work in certain arenas where they have to get PTO approved or paid time off or request time off. You now are your own boss. You can do it yourself. If you want to take a trip, you can take a trip. So that's what we call lifestyle by design. If you are that way of thinking, you are able to say, you know what, I'm going to take my family on a trip. We're going to go. Why? Because you are now, you have the means to do that as a business owner, you know, especially if the business is sustaining itself and you don't have to really worry about a lot of things, especially today is 2016. You're very accessible via email or via text. You can even turn your phone into somewhat of a satellite phone if you're in another country, to be able to help your business still sustain itself while you're away. But the lifestyle by design is very important. That's another part back to the business plan that we talked about in the first question.
Mm-hmm.
You can create that. You are the master of your own destiny, if you will, as a business owner. So if you want to say within your business plan, I plan on doing this as well by a certain date, then guess what? You just created that lifestyle for yourself. Another reason why there is a significance of being a business owner is you're creating a legacy for your family. You asked me in the beginning, Eric, London, or you, I don't ask, but you said that London probably will do a lot of things by the time she gets to an age of becoming her own business. I already had seen the plan for that. I'm looking at my daughter now and seeing what her passions are. She loves to dance. She loves music. Maybe I should, you know, help her within my ways and means, because I am also a small business owner. But from that, she can see it through me, so she can create her own. She knows that, you know, my
right.
father, my dad, daddy, as she calls me, he does this. Maybe I can do that. And I will enhance on her passion. But that's the main thing. We want to create a legacy. With us within any culture, we need to do that for our children and our children's children. We can't think of just of today. Now, I know some of us are not in the way of, don't have the ways and means to try to create that as of right now. But let's not think of the now. Let's think of the later. Let's create that generational wealth. That's the difference for a lot of folks, is the creating of the generational wealth. If you start your business now, by the time your children, or let's say 18, ready to go to college, you know, they have the opportunity to go to college, to learn how to become receive that higher education, to either A, come back and take over the family business when you want to relinquish it over to them, or B, learn their own craft and use the model of your business to do that. And that's what I hope London will do with me. My business that I do is I work with my wife. Her business is called Ivy Rose PR. She's an events coordinator, wedding planner. What I do within her business is what I call the gentleman's gentleman. I help out with helping the grooms pick out suits, bow ties, pocket squares, socks, you know, things of that nature. High quality stuff. Even if it's not at a higher budget, but I make sure that, you know, you're able to still look nice on your day. Or even if it's just becoming a personal shopper in some ways. I've done that for years. When I used to work for my other employer at the one time, you know, I would help gentlemen learn how to dress because some of them wanted to change their game up. And I low-key got kind of paid for it. But it's still a great opportunity to build upon what I knew how to do. So now when it comes to the right time, this has been taking off for a while, and my wife's business is picking up. We're able to create that generational wealth so that when London gets to of age, she'll be able to say, you know what, Daddy, I want to do this. You know what, we're going to help you out with that. I'm not going to do it for you, but I will lead you in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's great. I truly believe that just about maybe 80% of human beings only have the capacity and the drive to be what they see. There's a special kind of being out there, like a President Obama or like a Jackie Robinson, who has the capacity to be something that they've never seen before. But most of us most of us need to be able to see something up close. We need exposure to know exactly how something can be done and if we can do it. Now, London will have much exposure, but many of us need that exposure, a lot of exposure which you're getting on this morning show, a lot of exposure which you have seen through people who you have seen run their own businesses. But that's great. I also really like Lifestyle by Design. I like the fact that many business owners can just do things because they can. I was talking to a woman who runs the Springmill Bread Company in Wayne, PA, a little while ago, and she was talking about how she goes on vacations and she can leave when she wants, and there's a certain level of happiness that is connected to having your own business. You can't get fired. And a great thing, like you said, William, is that having a business isn't so hard once you wake up and find yourself doing something that has always come easy to you. something that you've always loved doing. So anyway, go ahead, bro.
Oh yeah, listen. I
just enjoyed that.
To switch up the direction a little bit. Not too much, obviously. We're still talking about banking. but not so much from a personal perspective. I want to switch to more of kind of what the news has been talking about and kind of some of the promoting that's been going on from an African-American perspective. And the question is, with the news and social media, you know, obviously so rife with race, with the race topic and the Black Lives Matters movement, one of the key changes that has been widely promoted is Black supporting Black businesses. Now you've worked with small businesses of all demographics. So my question is, what do you believe is the gap, if there is one, or the hurdle that most Blacks who go to banks for financial guidance, investment, or loans must address for us to see more success in Black-owned businesses in this space?
The gap across all demographics, whether it be African-American, Latin-American, Asian-American, Caucasian, it doesn't matter. All demographics across the board, especially here in the United States, is financial literacy, knowledge and financial literacy. To take a little part of DJ Khaled's piece, knowledge is major key. It's the key.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Knowledge is the key. You know, it's even written in the text that you have to seek knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to gain full understanding. To take a little part back, you know, I know Proverbs 1, you know, Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to seek knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to seek that, because the more knowledge you're able to gain, it will help you further down the line. Now, I'm not speaking of everyone needs to, and because we all know this, college isn't made for everyone in a way. But you can find knowledge from somewhere, even if it's just you going to school to learn all these things, or if you weren't able to have that opportunity to go to school, or you didn't like the fact how school was when you got there, you could always sit back and just ask another person, how did you do this? Can you show me? Some of us are learners by looking, by listening, by watching, instead of putting your thoughts into a book of that way. So that's different ways of knowledge of how you can gain and seek it. That's the major point with a lot of things. A lot of the business owners that I have dealt with have gained knowledge over the years by conversing with other business owners like them. That's major, you know. So if you're able to, you know, do that, even on a personal level, if you are having trouble, let's say, with your mortgage, you want to ask maybe your neighbor, and they said, how about you go talk to your bank and do that? And then that will drive you to come in. Because it was just asking that question, you seeking some type of understanding and knowledge of what's going on. Another big part in this gap is financial literacy. Now, I'm first to say this. Not the first to say this, but I want to let your listeners know. I fully believe that schools need to teach banking from elementary to high school, so you can have an understanding by the time you turn 18, what you understand a student loan is, a checking account, a savings account. That's major key for your success in your financial journey going forward after high school. Wells Fargo is a huge advocate when it comes to financial literacy. Wells Fargo has a program, what we call hands-on banking, and they even have a website. It's handsonbanking.org, where you can learn, again, banking from all different types of age levels. We have kids, teens, young adults, entrepreneurship, seniors, and military. This keeps you up to date of how things have been changing within the financial services, so you're able to understand better where you are in your financial journey. So to help you get that personal loan, you can understand credit. Credit is very huge, especially in today's world. I use an analogy with a lot of my customers and clients. I'll tell them, like, you know, cash will get you through the door, but credit will get you the house.
That's quality.
Nice.
So again, it comes down to knowledge and financial literacy for folks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's great. Now, this has been an awesome episode of the Nick Christian Show. So, bro, did you want to help? since this is your show, did you want to help close us out with Will? Did you have a final question for William Wright before we scoot on out of here?
Sure. Listen, I'm going to go away from the script today and just ask you a question. That's a pretty general question, but one that we ask all of our guests, provided that we have time, and it's simply to leave our listeners with something that they can take away, something that can help them get through the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, provided that they never listen to Nick and Eric in the Morning again and make the biggest mistake of their life. Maybe you could help that on this show and kind of just leave them with something to help them get through their mess.
For me, it's prayer. Prayer is one. I'm a man of faith, and then I grew up in the church, so, my mother's a prophetess. So prayer is big for me. There are many times in my life where I have had the patience of Job, if you will.
Come on here.
Where, the enemy pretty much said, why don't you curse him? Because he has put you through this situation, and I never did. I kept praying. And prayer works, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on here.
Prayer works. Pray until something happens.
Yeah.
You got to push. Yeah. That's what we call push. Pray until something happens. And it got me through a lot. I'm only 29 years old, and I bought my first home at 28. Now, there are other individuals who have bought their first home probably at 18 because they were looking for the investment goal. But my father and my mother sent me a birthday card when I was 22, and it gave me a list of things to do before I turned 30. I found my godly woman. I bought my house. I found a very good career. And as much as I went through then, the load has been lifted for some of the things I went through then, but now it's a different type of prayer I'm giving. But you just have to keep praying every day. Every day. Even if it's just, Lord, let me get through this work day. Please be with me. And that's just powerful right there, because even when I go through something, it's just breaking it down. I remember when we were buying our house last year and we thought the financing was going to fall through. My wife ran out the bedroom of our very small apartment in Washington, D.C. And I'm playing 2K. And fellas, when you play 2K, you don't want to be interrupted.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
She stood in front of the TV, said, pause it, and we just bust out praying.
Nice.
And lo and behold, later that month, the mortgage company said, you guys have the house. And we had a huge fire at my aunt's house in Southwest Philly. I'm originally from Philadelphia, guys. I'm originally from Southwest Philadelphia. We were at my aunt's house, and we had a prayer there. They prayed that we wouldn't have to pay so much money going forward or get money back. We got to closing. We didn't have to pay our HOA dues for the entire rest of the year. We came there with an $8,000 check towards our closing. Because in a wealth of praying for the mortgage company, they paid the majority of our closing costs. And when we came with the $8,000 check, over the next 6 months after we had closed, we received back almost $3,000.
Look at
because
God.
Because they were like, it just kept coming in. We had check after check. There was a little excess in this. It was excess in that. So in my story, I'm just saying, folks, pray. That's all it is. Just take a few moments into yourself and knock that out, and you'll feel much better afterwards. Prayer will make your whole life feel different, especially when it's your financial situation. A lot of folks say, how does that work? How does that, sometimes you just got to pray for that financial breakthrough, and it will come. It may not come when you want it, but it will be there right on time.
Come on here, William.
That's it.
Come on
that's
here.
It. That's it.
That's
enough.
William. That's
enough. Well, yeah,
that's
it.
That's
it.
That's
it. I'm about to go crazy right here. This is awesome. This is awesome. That's exactly what you
sure
need to hear.
Make sure you pass the plate when you see William.
Okay. I mean, we've heard so much great stratagem from a financial perspective, but the biggest key, the biggest lesson, the biggest nugget, the biggest advice, the biggest counsel that you've heard on this show, you heard within the last 6 minutes. I promise
yes,
you that.
Sir.
Pray until something happens. Push it through, people, and your finances will get better. And I'm saying that, and my finances aren't better yet. But I believe it. I believe it. I do believe it. He's a witness.
One last piece, and I meant to say this, but your network is your net worth. This puts into perspective of how you will see things. When you say your network is your net worth, it's who you associate yourself with. That's another part. So if you associate yourself with folks who are, I would say, not miserable, but just in a way where you think that nothing's going to change, you become part of that nothing's going to change crowd. But when you're with individuals,
right,
and Eric and Nick, you guys know, especially when we've all gone to college and you create that bond with individuals you went to school with, our
yeah.
friends do these great things. If they do those great things, I will do those great things. It's not a competition, it's motivation. Because if you,
right.
you see them do great, you do great. And when they see you do great, they'll push you on. And then watch all your net worths, that's money after expenses, taxes, and everything like that.
Yeah.
Will definitely change and improve.
Yes,
there
sir.
You go.
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's real.
Well, listen.
That's real. Another great episode of the Nick Christian Show.
Stop it. You got to listen. We've gotten all this morning. Okay, we've got a ton of information to take away. We've got a ton of business and banking acumen given and created and developed here this morning. And we want you to remember all of it. But we most certainly want you to remember this. Remember that we are thankful for William for joining us this morning, first and foremost. But secondly, we want you to remember that our destiny, that your destiny, that Eve's destiny, that my destiny, William's destiny is greatness. And it's not because of you. It's not because of William. It's not because of me. And it's not because of Eve. Our destiny is greatness. Why, Eve? Come on, brother. Hit him with it.
Because God did it.
That's right, baby. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. I holla. Woo! The show this morning.
Yes, sir.